Welcome back to Forigins, listeners. Today, we're going to be taking a shot at the Forigins of Whiskey.
Forigins is not responsible in any way for misconceived notions about any of the topics discussed on the show or how the history of the world in general. If you would like to learn the truth about anything ever, please consider a show of importance. Just kidding, don't actually listen to other shows. We need your patronage. Thank you.
Today on the show, I have here with me Edward Standish. I'll have him introduce himself.
Oh, yeah. So, my name's Edward Standish, and I'm a religious historian. I know you might think that's a whiskey career, but I've found a good place at a university teaching religious history. So I guess I'll kick off today's show with a little bit of history to back up our Forigins of Whiskey. So back in the 1500s, Martin Luther, who was a monk, he had some issues with the Catholic Church, and so he decided he wanted to reform them. So, you know, he nailed some stuff to a door, and this kicked off the Great Reformation, causing lots of branches to split off from the Catholic Church. They were collectively known as the Protestants because they were protesting the views of the Catholics and the practices of the Catholics. So this led to conflict, you know, Catholics on one side and Protestants on the other side. Not all Protestants were in perfect agreement, of course. We'll probably be mostly talking about the Lutherans when we refer to Protestants in this episode. But one of the main points of conflict was their view on Satan. The Protestants thought that Satan was a great threat to humanity, and so they needed the Protestant churches to protect them from this big bad guy, Satan. Whereas the Catholic Church was less about that. They said, Satan, you know, don't worry about him. Just come join the Catholic Church and we just don't worry about Satan. And so this was a major point of conflict between the two sides in this religious debate.
So the Catholics began sending hunters after Satan so they could get his head on a spike and show that he wasn't all that much of a threat. But then the people started disappearing, the people they would send after Satan. And this was actually helping the Protestant cause of being fearful of Satan. And so the Protestants also started sending their best and strongest hunters with the most skill, and basically sent them on suicide missions so that people would be like, oh, these guys are real strong and stuff, and they died from Satan. I should join this church and be scared of him.
And was this working? Were tides changing in this war?
Not really. It was just kind of a stalemate.
Stalemate, yeah, exactly. Some people tried to make, you know, fake proof. Some Catholics would whip up a demon corpse, or Protestants would give themselves fake scars or make up stories to tell. But people weren't being convinced, and a lot were just losing their patience with religion altogether. Yeah, what could change the tide once and for all?
Well, his name was Johann Müller. He was a great fighter. He tried to vanquish Satan once, backed by the Protestants, but he had just extremely bad luck. And he tried again with the Catholics, but the bad luck just came and thwarted him once more. And so he decided to kind of use both sides, and I'll let Edward explain how that went.
Yeah, so it's a little bit complicated. After he failed being backed by the Catholics, he goes back to them and he's like, okay, I didn't die. Give me another chance, you know, a few more men. I promise this time things will go better, and I will get you your Satan. And then, of course, he doesn't tell the Protestants that he went back to the Catholics. Then he goes back to the Protestants and with mock humility goes down on his knees, begs for forgiveness. I'm so sorry for working with the Catholics. I know that you guys disagree a lot, but, you know, I just want to vanquish the evil that curses this earth, Satan. And so the Protestants, you know, they forgive him, so they give him some men to go with him, some more weapons, the rights to summon a portal to the infernal realm, and they send him on his way. So how began his journey, Richard?
Well, Johann, he combined the infernal portal summoning from both religions and just all the tools that he had, and this time, it worked, finally. Now, this path was not one for the faint of heart. It was very treacherous and full of trials and tribulation.
The walls were lined with brimstone, fire shot down from above.
Lakes of lava.
And gaping sharp rocks that almost looked like teeth, and every once in a while seemed to maybe move, biting.
Shadows in the distance that spooked so many of the soldiers that, in the end, it was just Johann left.
Let's just say that the purgatory place was not very hospitable. And also, Satan, he has a sense that he can tell whenever someone opens up a portal to his abode. He can tell, and so he sets an ambush for these travelers, and they come down through this path and opens up onto the main caverns of the place of torment, and legions of demons just begin to slaughter all of Johann's men, and things are not looking good. Just back and forth fighting. They kill a few of them, of course, because they're all trained soldiers, but none of them, they're not making progress, and finally all of the men are dead except for Johann, and he is single-handedly, crossbow and sword, you know, slay a demon with one hand, shoot another one from a distance. He is taking on the Brimstone Brigade and pushing them back. Satan, who is watching all this from his high throne of infernal rock, is watching this battle go down and decides to get involved because he can't have his armies losing to a single man. That would just be shameful. So he comes in and he is the greatest fighter known to all of existence, and so with the help of his armies overpowers Johann and doesn't kill him immediately. He takes him and puts him into prison because He respects Johann and his fighting ability and his tenacity.
Have you ever been making toast with chocolate spread? Has that spread ever tasted too chocolatey to you? Are you missing the real flavor from this breakfast delight? You no longer have to worry. Chocolate butter is here to brighten your day. With our unique mixture of chocolate and butter, we happily present the world's best chocolate spread. It melts and spreads just like warm butter, but with a chocolatey twist. Buy it now at betterthanbutter.com, the real flavor of America.
And then right here we have what we believe to be religious texts of what happened.
It's in some Protestant Bible. He recorded his account and they canonized it. But we'll reenact it for y'all. I'll be Johann. You want to be Satan?
I would love to be Satan.
All right, sounds good.
Your fighting impresses me, young man.
Oh, thank you. I practiced long and hard, but can I get out of here and go?
If you choose to leave right now, you will have to live your life insane from the things you've seen here. But if you choose to fight me and win, you can go scotch-free. No madness for you.
But why would you strike such a deal with me, Satan?
If you lose, I get your soul as a general in my army.
Oh no, this is no good. But now I must muse to myself under my breath. Why would Satan even risk letting me go free when he could take my soul already? Ah, yes, I have figured it out. The more fighting and chaos and misery in the world, the further Satan's plans go. That is not good. I will have to change my profession. I accept, Satan!
Yes!
And so now that they struck the deal, we can, you know, see how their fight went down. Richard, do the honors for us here.
So Johann accepts the latter option of fighting Satan and hopefully winning. And they begin a contest of swordsmanship. Now, Satan is extremely good. He has had millennia of practice. But Johann's still holding his own. He's one of the greatest fighters on Earth at this time. But he tires very quickly compared to Satan. In a desperate move, he disarms Satan, but at the cost of sacrificing his own weapon. They move to a wrestling match where they're tumbling over hills and into valleys. And eventually, Satan grapples him and shoves his head into the lake of fiery inferno.
Can I interject here? So it's a common misconception that the lakes down in hell are fiery brimstone. They're not actually that. They're just a fiery water because it's what devils need to drink in order to quench their thirst. So it's not actually brimstone. The brimstone is solid. You can't have a lake of stone. It's brimstone. So that's what they use on their walls to build their buildings is brimstone. Sorry, I just thought I'd include that.
Yeah. So, as our story continues, Satan's plunging Johann's face into the lake of liquid flame. And Johann thinks, hey, if Satan can drink this stuff, I probably should try some as well. So he decides to drink and feels power surge through his veins.
Burning, sliding down his throat.
Yes, and with this new power, he's able to...
fire in his soul.
Yes, he's able to overtake Satan and...
Overtake him.
So Johann has Satan pinned to the ground, and Satan decides, hey, you've won your match fair and square. I'll let you free.
So once he goes free back to the overworld, back up the tunnel, and he doesn't really want to go back to the two fighting religions. He now understands more deeply Satan's plan to try and institute as much conflict as possible in the world, and so he doesn't want to be a part of that fight. And he almost respects Satan. He doesn't want to let the religions have their way with him. You know, he's a separate thing. But now he's got the rest of his life to live. He's got these skills as a soldier, but once again, those increase conflict. And he is newly born as a pacifist after this experience. So he's trying to think of careers, and he remembers the water that he drank deep down in the realm of diabolical carnage. And he decides this one might do well on the market, you know? Kind of the pleasant burning sensation in addition to a nice strong flavor. So he starts experimenting. He tries everything from blowtorching water. I bet you can guess how that went. it evaporated. Then he tries synthesizing the oil off of poison ivy. You know, that creates a burning sensation. Have you ever touched poison ivy?
Yes, I have, actually.
It's not pleasant. So it was less pleasant going down his throat, if you might expect. But he finally finds that something similar, it's not perfect, of course, no one has the power over the flames of the deepest abysmal plane that Satan does, so he's not able to recreate it perfectly, but he finds that if he ferments grain and distills that, he can do something similar. You know, it tastes good, it burns on the way down, it creates a fire in your soul. So he starts selling it, and he calls it whiskey, which is the German name for fire lake.
Now, this whiskey spread to and was very loved and welcomed by England, who then brought it to America,
in turn,
which then brought it to the West, and soon after that, it was global. Everyone loved the whiskey, even the Catholics and the Protestants, who, when they figured out that it was Johann who brought it to our world and thought, oh, wait, Fire Lake, he probably got it from his crusade to Satan, and so they tried to take credit for it. And everyone loved this.
Except for the Prince of Darkness, understandably.
Yes, he hated the fact that mortals were able to experience whiskey, which was far before just reserved for Satan and other sons of perdition. And so he put a curse on the whiskey that anyone who drank it would temporarily lose full cognitive functioning, also known as would get drunk. While the religions were fighting for the credit, people, for the first time, started to get drunk. And the drunk people would do stupid things. And
I don't know if I'd say stupid.
I would say stupid.
Okay.
And the morality of society started to plunge.
I don't know if I'd say plunge.
Degrade.
No.
Agree to disagree. Both religions put it in reverse and tried to distance themselves from whiskey because it started getting a bad reputation. They were so successful that you probably won't hear the story from anywhere else. It took us a lot of work to dig it up for you guys.
Yeah. You know, the Bible that Johann wrote his experience in, and, you know, the summoning rites, and, yeah, this, it's kind of been my life work. I'm a general religious historian, but this here is my specialty. Yeah, so that's whiskey and how it came to be.
Alrighty, thank you for coming on the show with us here today.
For sure.
We'd like to thank you, listeners, for joining in with us. If you'd like to contact and support us, you could reach us at anchor.fm/forigins. We also have an Instagram account that you should follow. It's forigins.show. We're on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Amazon. And with that said, always check your sources. Also known as would get drunk.